Can you guys hear me? I just want to thank you all for allowing me to come this morning. It is definitely an honor to me. I'm going to let you know that I am not long-winded at all. I'm just going to give the word, and we're going to go about our way. If you don't mind, I just want to sing one worship song just to get my mind prepared, although the atmosphere is wonderful, but I'm a worshiper at heart, and I'd like to sing before I speak, if that's okay. Just a quick song. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. We give you all the glory. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. We give you all the glory. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you, Lord, thanking you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you for this opportunity today. Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, I decrease on this morning, Lord, said that you can increase in me. Father, Lord, I ask that you would use me as a vessel, oh God, as a mouthpiece on this morning. Father, Lord, I ask that you would open up the ears, oh God, of the hearers, oh God. Lord, that you, this word will touch their hearts, oh God. Father, Lord, that when they leave here, God, that they will leave here different than the way they walked into the doors, oh God. I ask that you would encourage the hearts of the people and that they will leave here strengthened and empowered, Lord, to do your will and to do your work. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So this morning, our scripture will come from Matthew 27, verses 45 through 46. Matthew 27, verses 45 through 46. And then a second verse will come from Psalms 22. So Matthew 27 and 45, it says, "Now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?'" And the second scripture I will get to in a moment. As I begin to read this scripture, I begin to really seek God about the word, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I just begin to really think, because it's like, wow, God is forsaking Jesus. And when I think of the word forsaken, I think of your back being turned, or basically you feeling abandoned, your back turned, if you think about it.
I don't know if any of you have ever been forsaken by someone, or if you've ever felt like someone has let you down, someone you believed in, someone you trusted in, has let you go, basically. And so as I begin to look at this and I begin to really ask God for more revelation on this word, and as I begin to search the word of God, it took me to Psalms 22. And in Psalms 22, basically during the time that Jesus was on the cross, he quoted Psalms 22. And it begins with, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus quoted this Psalms in order to draw attention to it and the fact that he was fulfilling it there on the cross. When we think about this, also consider verses 11 and through 18 in Psalms 22. And it says, be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They open wide their mouth at me, as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted with me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws, and thou dost lay me in the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers have encompassed me. They pierce my hands and my feet, and I can count all my bones. They look, they stared at me. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothes they cast lots. The term dogs were used by Jews to refer to Gentiles. His heart was melted in him, and during the crucifixion process, the blood loss, feeling that weight of sin, he was experiencing separation from God for the only time in all of eternity. And when we think about Jesus, when we go back even to the Garden of Eden, where Adam had sinned, there was a separation that took place between God and Adam. And so God had to figure out a way, how can I reconnect myself to my people? And in doing this, this is the whole reason of the birth of Jesus. The birth of Jesus was pretty much God reincarnated to reconnect himself to the people. And so even when I look at this, the whole purpose of Jesus' life, he was basically God in flesh, so that God would be able to experience this walk of life, this human walk of life. Everything that we have to go through in life, God was able to endure and be able to experience those things for this point in time in his life, the crucifixion. His whole purpose in his life was to be on the cross for us. And when we even think about prior to the crucifixion, we think about the crucifixion that takes place when people, when the priest had to go into, and when they went in into the church or to the temple, there were sacrifices that had to be made. There were several different rituals that took place, but one of the things that took place, there were sheep, there were lamb that had to be slaughtered for sin to take place. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful to God, because I don't think I could be the one having to slaughter a lamb, you know, for my sins. I just couldn't see myself doing that. But I'm thankful that God loved us so. He loved us so to send his son to die for us, for our sins. After this sacrifice that And when I think about the sacrifice and I think about going back to even to the Garden of Gethsemane, and the things that God, Jesus had to endure, you know, he had his disciples surrounded him. They were there, but then again, they were not there, you know, emotionally. During this time, you know, God is praying, Jesus is praying because he knows what is to come. He can feel the anguish. He knows the pain is getting ready to come. And he's known all his life the sacrifice that needed to take place. But now at this point in time, it's becoming reality to him. So now we're on the cross. We're on the cross, and even the word, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It is the fourth word that God, or sentence that Jesus spoke while he was on the cross. And so even in this process, I begin to even think about this process and thinking about Jesus, thinking about the cross where Jesus finally, it's experienced the pain and the turmoil of what it is like to be sinful or feel the sin that the human race had to go through. You know, he's a divine being, but it was at this point, a lot of times people think when he's actually walking and holding the cross and different things like that, that he's bearing the weight of the world. But it was actually at this point, I truly believe that he felt the weight of the sin, the weight of our sin, the weight of the sin of people prior to his time, people in his time now, and now in our present time. He felt the weight of that sin. Through this, Jesus came as a human being to rescue us from our sinful plight. And in doing so, he experienced almost everything he could as a human. He never really experienced the fearful and the agony predicament of being separated from God by sin. It was only when he took upon our sins himself on the cross. It was only when the crushing despair of being separated from God came upon him that he finally felt what we as humans have lived with since we were born. The pain and the anguish we feel on a daily basis. You know, I think about the word of God and how it tells us that, you know, we have to repent daily because there's daily sin that comes before us. It may not always be an active sin, but it can be a thought. It can be an action. And so daily we have to die. The pain and the anguish we feel every day, the suffering of being separated from God. When we sin, we are separating ourselves from God. And that has numbed our souls. The despair and the fear that drives us to live as we do was felt for the very first time by Jesus on the cross when sin came upon him. His cry, even when I think about during the time that he was on the cross, you know, he was talking to the two men on his side and he was talking so that they can hear. But the word says, at this time with a loud voice, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This is not the cry of God forsaken, of the God forsaken God, but it's the heart cry of every single human being on earth. It is the cry we have been voicing since the beginning when we fell into sin. And we're going back to the Garden of Eden. And finally, God came to earth in Jesus Christ to experience this separation for himself. And when he died, the suffering is so great, he cries out. I mean, and when he did, the suffering is so great, he cries out, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Do you see? This is not just the cry of Jesus on the cross. This is the cry for every person on earth. Is it our pain, our fear, our heart, our hurt, our despair, and finally being given a voice? It's finally being given a voice. It is the cry of God fully entering into our broken condition and fully experiencing the sense of separation from God that sin causes, and crying out in anguish and despair over this sense of loss. My God, again, my God, why have you forsaken me? When we feel that God is ignoring us or has abandoned us, Jesus knows exactly what we feel, and he cries out to God on our behalf. Every time we go through something in our life, every situation that we go through, when we go through hurt, when we go through pain, when we go through death, all the above, Jesus has experienced that, and he knows exactly what we're going through. He was put on this earth to be that example for us. His life is an example for our everyday walk. When we wake up in the morning, everything that we do, everything that we say should be a replicate of Jesus' life. Yeah, there might be times where we're going to mess up. There are going to be times where we have, when our emotions take us, you know, somewhere. We might feel angry. We might feel sad and all the above. But know that Jesus knows that it knows every feeling, every emotion, everything that we've experienced. He has experienced that same thing. And he intercedes on our behalf. He intercedes on our behalf. When we cry out to him, when we pray to him, when we let him know what we're going through in our times of frustration, in our times of anger and all those different things, he hears us and he intercedes on our behalf. When we feel despised and rejected, abused and slandered, misunderstood, forgotten, we wonder why God seems to be doing nothing to protect and defend us. Well, Jesus knows we feel what we feel, and he cries out to his Father on our behalf. Why have you forsaken me? The separation from God that Jesus experienced on the cross is a separation from God that humans experience every day. And certainly, since he is God, and since he bore every sin of every person, he experienced this separation just for us. It was all for us. And I don't know about you, but I am so glad, you know, that Jesus bore the sins for us. You know, at any time, he could have come down, you know, from the cross. At any time, he could have said, Father, this is too much for me to bear. I don't know about you, but I do not like pain. I don't like pain at all. And I know it. I'm a baby when it comes to pain. I'll cry at the drop of a dime if I hit my toe or whatever it is. Tears will start falling, you know. And so I think of when I even take the picture of him being nailed to the cross for our sins, you know, my eyes begin to well up, because it's like, who, when we think of it, you know, we say sometimes that we would give our lives for our families, for our children and all the above. But this man suffered. He suffered just for us, for our sins. And when I think about that, all I can do is worship him. All I can do is praise him because of the sacrifice that he gave for little old Myla. For me, he did it just for us. And so as we go out today and throughout the rest of our lives, when we wake up in the morning, let all of our lives be a life of worship. Let all of our lives be a life of thankfulness, you know, for just a simple thing that God allowed us to wake up this morning. He allowed us to inhale and exhale. He allowed us to see our family around us. And so when you wake up in the morning and you go throughout your day, make sure that the life you live is a life of holiness and a life that is replicating the life of Jesus. I hope that this word blessed you on this morning, and I ask that you all just have a blessed day. Amen.